The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show, rolling into the 5 o'clock happy hour. And I'm happy to announce we're in Chicago, Dom. We're at the DNC, and we are on day 4 of partying.
The final night. Good to be here, Crudy. Thank you to all the staff over here at Civic Media. Thank you to our guest, Rick Smith and Ken Weber, in the last hour. Love talking to Rick, man, our labor buddy. He gets me fired up.
He is a very animated guy.
Yeah.
He believes what he believes.
Oh,
strongly.
Man. Yes, absolutely.
Passionately.
Absolutely.
And we believe in union labor. I think we have seen sort of a renaissance of the union movement. And I think the fact that Tim Walz was chosen to be the vice president, you know, I assume he's part of the teachers union, but more importantly, I think he is the embodiment of sort of dad. He's like everybody's dad, or at least the neighbor's dad, the guy you like. As the kid that introduced him, the neighbor that would help push you out of a snowbank. That's the kind of neighbors I need. And, of course, sort of unexpected, Oprah Winfrey, man. Oprah's on. Everybody at the DNC yesterday got a car. You get a car. You
no,
get a car.
That's,
no,
I,
that's
I,
not
I,
exactly
I
how
get a car.
It played out. But I understand. They've got a bigger guest coming than Oprah. And I got to think, who's bigger than Oprah? It's either got to be Queen Bee or Taylor Swift. I don't know who's bigger than Oprah. But her speech, very powerful. I never realized she was an independent.
Right,
now.
Yeah.
Let's play some of that sound from last night for those that might have snuck out of the room or stepped away. Rich, if you could, help us out. Let's do Oprah Winfrey, cut 10, decency on the ballot.
Decency and respect are on the ballot in 2024.
Rich, let's play one more Let's Stand Together with Oprah.
When we stand together, it is impossible to conquer us.
And we've got a guest who's joined us at the table, but I want one more, Rich. We're going to wrap up Oprah sound. Kamala Harris, cut 14, please, Rich.
We're all Americans, and together, let's all choose Kamala Harris.
Nobody does it quite like Oprah Winfrey, and they claim a bigger star than Oprah coming tonight. I find that very hard to believe. Dom, we've been joined here at the table by a fine guest, Alfonso David.
Yes.
And Alfonso, I don't know if you recall, but when you were with the Human Rights Campaign, you joined us on the air some time ago now, but welcome back to the Devil's Advocate, sir.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Good to see you.
So, what is your new organization? Who are you here representing?
So, I'm the president and CEO of the Global Black Economic Forum. So, I took that over about 3 years ago. It is a sister company to Essence. And we focus on economic opportunity, economic justice, and economic freedom. So, you know, we often hear the word equality or equity thrown around, and it's become a hashtag. But in many cases, it's elusive. Many cases, it doesn't really mean anything. And so how do we get to that point that we achieve equity and equality? And so what we're looking to do at the Global Black Economic Forum is identify all of the tools that we've been utilizing for decades to try to get us to this place that we call equality and equity, deconstruct them, come up with new systems to achieve something meaningful in the new century, right? And so that's economic justice, that's economic policy, that's litigation, that's legislation. We do leadership development. We have events all over the globe. And when I say economic opportunity, it's not just here in the United States. We're talking about globally. How do we reconceptualize this concept?
How do you think the Democrats are doing speaking to issues of equity and diversity here at the convention?
Well, it depends on how you who we're comparing them to.
Don't compare them to the almighty. Compare them to the alternative, sir. Right.
So if we're comparing the Democrats, I would say that they're doing an incredible job because they're inclusive, right? And they're not operating from a place of fear. So what we see in our political spectrum right now is you either operate from a place of fear where if I give you something, that means that I lose something, versus the understanding that the pie is a lot bigger and that there's nothing to be fearful by just treating people with dignity. And I think what the Democrats are doing quite successfully is taking a step back and looking at all of our policies, social and economic, to see how we can create a level playing field without operating from a place of fear. We have significant problems in this country as it relates to economic justice. Venture capitalism is one, and many people may or may not know this, but if I own a business and I'm looking to scale that business, right? I need an investor to help me scale my company.
Been there, sir. Yes, sir.
You all know what I'm talking about. So there's $288 billion that's allocated in the venture capital space every year. Only 0.03%, 0.036% goes to black women. Only less than 1% goes to black people. So if we think about that, just practically, $288 billion, and you're only allocating less than 1% to black people, then you understand why it's so difficult for people of color to create and sustain and scale businesses because they're not getting the investments that they need. That's one significant problem. There are many others, but what we have to do, and I think what the Democrats are looking at, is reconceptualizing entrepreneurship, really rethinking business investments, and thinking about access to capital in a way that we have to for the next generation.
Folks, you are listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We got a fine guest at the table. He is Alfonso David. He is the former president of the Human Rights Campaign, and he's the current CEO of Global Black Economic Forum. We appreciate you joining us, sir. I'd like to reference Michelle Obama's speech the other night.
What a speech. Oh, my God.
First and foremost, Alfonso, what do you think of her line about, you know, this job you seek, Trump, just might be one of those black jobs?
I thought that Michelle Obama's speech was probably the best national convention speech I've ever heard in my life. I say that because of what she was able to communicate in that speech in so many different ways. She spoke to almost every single person, regardless of political ideology, and she broke down all of the issues in a way that was translatable. And her point about black jobs, I think, you know, what she did was so subversive because she's saying, Donald Trump, you're actually applying for a job that is a black job because my husband actually had this job before, and Kamala Harris is on track to get this job again. So how you've denigrated black people to say that, you know, a black job is something that's, you know, beneath you is actually counterintuitive. You're actually applying for a black job.
Alfonso, what do you think about how she sort of broke out that most people don't have multiple bites at the apple? They get one shot in life. If you start a company and you fail, you lose your company.
The
you go
affirmative
bankrupt.
Action of generational wealth, I thought, was a
it was
great
extraordinary,
line. Yeah.
Right? When we just think about the language that she used, and it's absolutely true. For many people, they'll take their savings to create their own company or borrow from their family members. And if the company doesn't succeed, they're done. Because if they go to a financial institution to get investments for another company, they want to know your track record. They want to know how many assets you have. And in many cases, people don't have available a lot of resources. So their dreams are lost. They can't create another company. They move on to do something else. as opposed to those who come from generational wealth that are able to create business after business, whether it fails or succeeds.
Fail forward, I think, was the term she used, sir.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Alfonso David from the Global Black Economic Forum. I'm still rolling with that number in my head about the lack of access to the capital of venture cap. Those numbers are tragic. How does that get turned around? How does that get addressed quickly? It can't be that black women and black people in general aren't successful, don't have good ideas, aren't hardworking. How does that get turned around, man?
In many ways, accountability. So right now, you have black and brown companies that are looking to level the playing field. So I'm representing the Fearless Fund. You all may have heard of this company. They also have a charitable organization. They're providing grants to other black people, black women, black brown men to scale their businesses. They were sued by Edward Blum. And he argued, if you provide grants to other black people, it constitutes discrimination under federal law. So we're now litigating that case in federal court. So when we think about how do we turn the ship around, you not only need an active federal administration to sort of reconceptualize how venture capitalism is working, but also if you're looking at $288 billion and only less than 1% is going to people of color, then we should be investigating and really probing their practices. Because if you go to try to engage in self-help, you get sued. Someone argues it constitutes discrimination. But what about the discrimination in that $288 billion and only less than 1% is going to black people? You're either saying that they're not qualified, they don't have great ideas, or something else is amok.
Something else is amok.
Alfonso David, he is the current CEO of the Global Black Economic Forum. Thank you so much, sir. Really informative. Really appreciate you joining us here on the Devil's Advocates today. What do you think of our brand, by the way, sir? Devil's Advocates. We had a branding guy on before. He seemed unimpressed.
No comment. Although I do love the movie.
It is a good one. I have so many names.
Some say the greatest radio show ever, but the brand, it's just fine. You were more than fine. You were excellent. Thank you. Come on back. We are live at the DNC. The party continues day four right here at the United Center in Chicago. More Devil's Advocates on the other side.
Thank you, Alfonso.
The Devil's Advocates, radio for the 99%.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show live from the DNC in Chicago. I want to thank our most recent guest, Alfonso Davis from the Global Black Economic Forum. Really appreciate him coming by. We love it when you come by. You can join us here on the lines as well, 844-967-2789. Follow us on Twitter at Devil Radio. And on Facebook at the Devil's Advocates Radio. Creed, I get the feeling you want to change the name, man.
Just thought I would inquire. Just having a little fun with the guest. Got to entertain myself sometimes.
Sometimes.
You know who is entertaining Tim Walz? The governor, the coach, he was quite entertaining last night. Now, I had seen most of his material. I did see him the day after they rolled him out. Watched the Philadelphia rally, and then he came to Eau Claire, Wisconsin. I was at that rally. So we're familiar with some of the one-liners, some of the material. You know, if you got some winning jokes, you use them over and over again.
Right. That's why I love a new audience. They laugh at the same old jokes.
One of the moments or the special moments that came out of last night's thing, as Walz was on the stage, he talked about his family. He talked about his wife, Gwen, his daughter, Hope, who and son Gus, and said, they are the most important people in my life. And Gus, who is not neurotypical, Gus has ADHD and maybe on the spectrum, I wasn't quite clear from all the reporting, but does have some diagnoses. And in many ways, Gus is a normal kid, but in some ways, he's got some limitations. But last night, as his dad was throwing him and the family love, Gus got up, and this kid got very emotional, and he said, "That's my dad." And he was crying. I mean, Gwynwald's first time that her husband came on the stage, she had tears of joy rolling down her face. And what has been shocking is the reaction of right-wing media to this otherwise very wholesome moment, this beautiful moment between a father and a son.
The love amongst a family.
I could only hope that one of my kids would look at me that way.
Once
in my life.
Uh-huh.
Jay Weber, WISN, Milwaukee. Jay Weber is a morning host, if you're unfamiliar, with the righty-whitey host in the great state of Wisconsin. Well, Jay Weber took it upon himself to share a little video on the social media, and Jay had a few unkind words to say about the young man. What'd he say, Dom? What'd he post?
This is what Jay Weber, he's on WISN, as Crudy mentioned, in the Milwaukee market. This is the top-rated station in Milwaukee. They pulled a 13.
Number two-rated station in the nation.
And pulled a 13 share last month in Milwaukee. And this is apparently one of their big stars.
He has a very large audience. Jay Weber is the king of the mornings. He has the largest audience in the state of Wisconsin.
Well, he may have just lost a few. Here's what he had to say about that picture of Gus crying and being so proud of his father. Weber said, quote, "Sorry, but this is embarrassing for both father and son. If the walls represent today's American man, this country is screwed. Meet my son, Gus. He's a blubbering bitch boy. His mother and I are very proud." Quote, unquote.
That was the post he put on the social medias last night. Now, Ann Coulter, you may know her, despicable human being, but Ann Coulter took a similar tone, maybe not quite as colorful, but this is how the right was casting this circumstance.
Coulter put it up, this is weird.
Well, you know, they're trying to play that theme.
Of course.
Labeling the Walls kid as weird, Gus as being weird for emotionally reacting to his dad. Now, pretty much everyone that was here and every social media post I've seen since has loved this moment. This was such a great moment between father and son, such a representative moment of the joy here at the DNC this week.
Yes.
So anyways, maybe Weber's getting a little pushback from his audience or others because he's got a little bit of a backpedal, a little flippy-floppy on this topic, Dom. But not really satisfactory apology, in my opinion, but what'd he say?
Here's what Weber said after he got the heat. Quote, "I didn't realize the kid was disabled and have taken the post down." He goes on to say he was getting some pushback with that, saying generally, how about just not, mess with kids? And then his final quote here was, "I agree. In an ex-fever, I broke one of my own longstanding rules when I saw the video. I've said, the kids are off limits for decades, then fell into it myself. No excuses. Good reminder.
A little late for that, Jay. Little late for that. After you've attacked a 17-year-old disabled kid. Oh, I didn't know he was disabled.
So otherwise it would have been fine. I mean, there's so many levels of asinine attitude with this whole thing. So number one, crying with love and adoration for your family members. Oh, my God. Perhaps if Jay experienced that kind of love, maybe Jay was lacking something in his own family. Maybe Jay doesn't have that kind of affection.
His daddy never hugged him.
Maybe he needs a hug. I don't know what it is, but that is some despicable stuff. So, hates the joy, hates the love. Apparently, he's very critical of it. And then what backpedals to a degree. Like, so am I to assume, Jay, that if the kid wasn't, quote-unquote, disabled, as you stated, it would have been fine to keep that kind of language to a 17-year-old man? Come on. What a disgrace.
Well, as you well know, my eldest son is on the spectrum. And my son, who now is a voting age, probably won't be pulling the trigger for Donald Trump. I'll just put it that way. He has been offended by the Trump campaign since all the way back when Trump mocked a disabled reporter from the New York Times. I don't remember. And Trump mocked a guy, right?
Yep.
Well, this whole party is about mocking the Republicans, man. What is to admire about a party that makes fun of a disabled 17-year-old kid? Even if he wasn't disabled, what kind of a party goes after somebody's kid? And Jay Weber claiming, oh, we leave the kids out of it, unless I make an exception. Folks, we have Devil's Advocates.
And the number one rated station in Wisconsin. Wow.
I don't know why his audience isn't listening to us. Maybe in the afternoons they turn over to us. We got to be pulling like a 30 share in our own minds. Come back with us. We are the Devil's Advocate, speaking to billions of Wisconsinites, at least theoretically. And we're going to play you Tim Walz's speech, at least the highlights thereof. We are the Devil's Advocates. We're live at the DNC Milwaukee. Almost did it again. It's been 3-4 days since I screwed up where we're at. Chicago, Illinois, at the United Center.
Thank you, Detroit.
DNC Day 4.
The Devil's Advocates. Sausage making never looked so good.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. We are live at the DNC Chicago, Illinois. And Tim Walz, Coach Walz, I saw some great video of him. Obviously, a lot of his former players came out on the stage. I don't know if you know, but he coached the state championship, Tom.
Oh, yeah,
that's
Curtis.
A hell of an accomplishment for some people.
Do you remember your coach when you went to state championship?
Dennis Christensen.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Excellent.
Hell of a coach. He let me play in a state championship game when we were only down 6-0 and I was only a sophomore. I had no right to be on that field, but he wanted all of his players to get that state experience. So I got a sack in the state championship.
Nice, yeah? Dude.
Well, you know, I kind of grabbed the guy by his ankles. He was running by me.
You got him, though, man.
He was behind the line of scrimmage. That's technically a sack.
It counts.
So anyways, Coach Walz, the speech of his life last night. And let's play some of the highlights thereof. Rich, going to need your help. Let's start with Governor Tim Walz speaking here. The honor of my life. Cut number one, please.
It's the honor of my life to accept your nomination for Vice President of the United States.
And I know a lot of teachers, Dom. I'd like a lot of teachers. And I know a lot of teachers like this statement. Cut number two, Tim Walz.
So there I was, a 40-something high school teacher with little kids, zero political experience, and no money, running in a deep red district. But you know what? Never underestimate a public school teacher. Never.
Great line, man. That crowd eating it up. That was amazing.
You know, the theme has been hope and joy this week. And, of course, Tim Walz's daughter is Hope. And they named her Hope. IVF treatments. It was very difficult for them to get impregnated, to, you know, have children.
Have this family that obviously they love each other so very much, which apparently is a big problem for some right-wing talk radio hosts.
But here is how Tim Walz describes his daughter, Hope. Cut three,
it took
please.
Gwen and I years, but we had access to fertility treatments. And when our daughter was born, we named her Hope.
It's hard, you know, for folks. And if you haven't gone through something like that, I think the quote was, if you haven't gone through it, you know somebody who has, trying to get pregnant. And to hear the personal story of that with them, knowing, again, what the Republicans are trying to do. They want to take away this option for their reasons. But as Tim Walz said, get the government out of your bedroom. Let's play one more here, a couple more from Tim. Cut four, please.
Health care and housing are human rights. And the government stays the hell out of your bedroom.
Governor Tim Walz also talked about the Second Amendment, and he's a little bit of a hunter, a little bit of a shooter, bragged a little bit, even kind of a crack shot. But let's play it. Governor Tim Walz. Coach Tim, cut five, please.
I believe in the Second Amendment, but I also believe our first responsibility is to keep our kids safe.
This is from a guy who's been in the classroom, from a guy who's, you know, what, apparently the best shooter in Congress. And again, I think it's another one of those topics that the right is just absconded with. That, oh, we're the ones, we're the only ones who respect and appreciate the right to bear arms. No, you're not. I mean, obviously, Tim's a hunter. There's a reason why there's the camouflage hats. 844-967-2789. Let's keep going. Governor Walz, he is a good hunter. Cut number six, please, Rich.
I'm a veteran. I'm a hunter. And I was a better shot than most Republicans in Congress, and I got the trophies to prove it.
That's going to help, man. That's going to help, I think, with some of the independents out there. A few more from the governor. Project 2025, this has been a big focus of this DNC, and who's the comedian who was on yesterday?
Kenan Thompson
brought out this huge book, the play on it. It's funny, and his delivery, Thompson, is just fantastic. He's a funny dude. It's funny, but it's also super scary. Let's hear a little bit what Walz had to say about the Project 2025. Cut seven, please.
They spent a lot of time pretending they know nothing about this, but look. I coached high school football long enough to know, and trust me on this, when somebody takes the time to draw up a playbook, they're going to use it.
Right. Right. They will absolutely use it. That's the point. Trump still trying to disavow anything that I don't know anything about. You can't legally tie me to this thing, even though lots of former.
What is this, a court of law or a campaign, sir?
I know. A couple more from the governor. No sleep till Brooklyn. I mean, no sleep till victory. Cut number eight.
We got 76 days. That's nothing. There'll be time to sleep when you're dead. We're going to leave it on the field.
And referencing the coaching, cut number nine.
Let me finish with this, team. It's the fourth quarter. We're down a field goal, but we're on offense and we've got the ball. We're driving down the field.
We're driving down the field.
Coach, 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 coach. Yeah,
But you still got to score. You still have to score on that winning drive to win this game. And this game is all about democracy and our freedoms, everybody's freedoms. And I like the fact that the messaging, the branding perhaps, but let's call it marketing, has evolved from democracy, which when the entire campaign of Biden is about the other guy and saving you from the other guy, that's still a pretty dark message. But when Kamala's been talking about joy and freedom, it somehow uplifts the narrative. And Tim Walz, I think this guy has been a hell of a co-pilot. I realize it's still early on, but you only need him to fly for about 75 days.
It was a fairly short and sweet speech by Tim. He definitely filled the role. I want to jump back one cut we didn't get to from Oprah from last night as well. Rich, cut number 13 regarding a message for the independents, if you would, please.
I'm calling on all you independents and all you undecideds. You know this is true. You know I'm telling you the truth, that values and character matter most of all.
What a, again, great speeches. I don't know if it really necessarily topped the Obama speeches, but it was a fantastic event last night.
Well, Oprah is somewhat beloved here in the city of Chicago.
You think?
When she came in the arena last night, they were going nuts for her. Here's the only surprise guest that maybe could top Oprah. If Michael Jordan comes out tonight and endorses.
Right.
And then does like a 360 dunk, you know, and then hands the ball off to Coach Tim.
Oh, nice.
Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates, and we appreciate the fact that you have been calling us and texting us, and we're going to get to you next. We're going to make a little time. Come join this party, the final night of the DNC. What are you looking forward to tonight from Kamala Harris? And what have you seen so far this week that's intrigued you, thrilled you, whatever the case may be? Liz from Saukville says, Jay Weber is a disgrace and should be fired. I don't disagree with that sentiment. Our friend Andrew from Verona, a frequent texter, says, yeah, Jay, you can go F yourself. I also don't disagree with that sentiment. Lee from The Grove says, I'm Walls weird. There's MAGA weird, and there's a difference. He's Walls weird. Yeah, I'd
take the Walls weird
any
day. Love
everything about that guy. His family, the way they show love and respect for each other. The fact that his 20-something daughter still hangs out with him and goes to the fair and, well, you know, we'll get you something deep fried on a stick. Well, I'm a vegan, Dad. Oh, we'll get you turkey. Well, that's still meat, Dad. Not in this state. You know, I mean,
it's just good stuff.
He is.
And it shows a kind of, you know, the kind of humanity that certainly seems lacking from Trump. When's the last time you saw him give his kids a hug? When's the last time you saw any love or adoration from Trump to his kids? Now his kids, you know, they'll
his own wife barely wanted to appear at the RNC with him. She was breathing through gritted teeth.
I can't believe I'm here and cussing the chick. No, it's a sea change from what we see on the other side. Again, that's what makes it so, I don't know, attractive. That's what makes it so it stands out so much, especially in contrast.
It's excellent. Matt from Germantown has sent, apparently his Harris Walls camouflage hat is arrived. I've ordered one for myself. I can't wait to get to the mailbox. I hope mine's there. They said end of September, though. It might be a while.
844-967-2789. Let's get to some of our fine callers. Cam from Appleton, Wisconsin. Welcome, Cam. What do you got for us?
Hey, Cam. How you been, man?
I've been busy. How about you guys?
We've been a little busy ourselves, man. What do you think of this DNC?
Pretty wild. I think L.A. Tom is a treasure and ended up talking to me for a little while last week over the phone. We talked for like about an hour-ish, and he helped me out.
Devil's Advocates bringing our fans together to form communities. But please continue. I'm sorry, Cam.
No, it's okay. I won't plug the site, but he gave me a URL to do whatever the hell I wanted with to, like, show how weird J.D. Vance is. And I got to say, I outdid myself in a Monday. That's it. That's all it took was a Monday to put together an entire site. But it's pretty good. The other thing is...
And where could people find this J.D. Vance parody site? What is the URL they could find this at?
HTTP.
And don't do one of your tricks, Cam. I know what you do, but go ahead. What is it?
I know. I'm no tomfoolery. This is not the time for tomfoolery.
JDweirdo.com. Tom's going there now, man. This better not shut down the system, hack his computer. Onlycouches.com. Our guy likes. Have you tried that one? Oh. Some lovely photos of when J.D. Vance was in drag in college. You know, Trump does prefer blondes, Cam.
He does. If people have trouble getting to the site, it's supposed to play music in the background. I think Baker Street is what I set it up as. aside from that, it is what it is. For the ADHD thing for the kid, I can't believe that people even bother making fun of that still, because we already have it hard. Myself having ADHD, it's hard enough to get our medication. Making fun of them for crying, whatever. That's get over yourselves. You think that doesn't make you a man? If you give him a task that he's interested in, I can almost guarantee you that he's going to excel at it better than any of you ever could.
Yeah, it's
quite possibly, Cam.
It's disgraceful.
And I
got to
tell you, I'm a bit of a blubbering bitch myself. I mean, I watched the Olympics advertising and just, yeah, I could be moved emotionally. I'm so easily manipulated, apparently, Dom. But
I gotta find the quote here again.
I don't fear emotion.
Oh, no, man. Hug your kids. Love your family. What's wrong? You can't say as Republicans, you're all about the family. We're the party of family. and then go out there.
Shut the hell up. I'm doing an interview here.
Like Jay Weber from WISN in Milwaukee, when Gus Walls stood up, yelled, "That's my dad," was crying with joy. What did Weber say to his audience in Milwaukee pulling a 13 share? "Sorry, but this is embarrassing for both father and son. If the Walls represent today's American man, this country is screwed." Then he puts in parentheticals, "Hey, meet my son, Gus. He's a blubbering bitch boy. His mother and I are very proud," unquote. What a disgrace.
I really wonder what Jay Weber had to say when Kyle Rittenhouse cried it out on the stand. Do you think he took the same attitude?
I'm betting he did not.
I suspect you're right. Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. I see you waiting in the QLA, Tom. You can come to the DNC with us right here in Chicago. Last segment for the day, so you better start dialing. And then don't forget, stick around. We've got all the coverage bell to bell starting at 7 o'clock right here on the Civic Media Network. But we're not done yet. 844-967-2789. Send the text, dial the phones, and join the Devil's Advocates live in Chicago at the DNC.
To the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
And welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show live from the DNC in Chicago at the United Center. Our last segment this hour. You can find us over at WCPT72Close. And you can join us.
And don't forget our colleague in broadcast, Maggie Dawn, joining us in the 7 o'clock hour. Can't wait.
Working hard today, Maggie.
To do some radio with Maggie Dawn.
844-967-2789. We do have some updates on Eric Hovde, but let's get to some callers first. L.A. Tom, you are next. Welcome, sir. What do you got for us?
JDWeirdo.com.
Hey, Tom.
JDWeirdo.com. First off, we the people ultimately are the government, and we must never forget that. There we go. Take that for all you people that didn't want to hear that anymore. Second, you know what? Bill Clinton had two great lines last night. First off, we have the deepest bench that you can possibly think of.
Right. For real, Tom.
But to all of you right-winger Republicans out there, since 1989, the Democratic presidents have created 50 million jobs. The Republicans in that same time period, 1 million jobs. Fuck it.
And statistically, that's been fact-checked already, as Bill Clinton said last night. I triple-checked it. I couldn't believe it. 50 million to 1 million. That is a little bit of a deficit. I'd say absolutely. They need to invoke the mercy rule on the Republican
right.
Party.
They're not going to make that up on volume, Tom.
Exactly. And second, don't count Donald Trump's lies. Count how many times he says I.
Count the eyes, yes.
And I
well
thought
said, Tom.
Jeffries was incredible as well. And by the way, Cam is a great, great guy. He's awesome.
He's industrious and just a little tricky. He's he's tried to fool us before, Tom, but you know, you got to get up before like 9 in the morning to trick us.
Thank you for the call, Tom. Always appreciate hearing from you. 844-967-2789. Found this one over at the heartlandsignal.com, WCPT 820 radio. Eric Hovde, the guy running for Senate in Wisconsin, I think is what he's running, because he didn't say it in his breakout video where he was running for the Senate. But Wisconsin Republicans.
I believe we've got this sound, by the way.
We do. Hovde made an appearance on Newsmax last week, where an awkward dodge made him imply that he has nothing good to say about female voters or women. Newsmax anchor Tom Bazile asked about Hovde's plan to appeal to female voters. The candidate's response, well, we'll just play it for it. If you're here, ready for us, let's just play the Hovde sound, cut number 20, please.
Look, it's just not my way. I'm kind of like President Reagan. If I don't have something good to say about somebody, I just don't say it. I focus on the issues and hold her accountable for her record. So you're not going to see me name calling and all of that. I will be focused on what she has voted for, how she has hurt the people of Wisconsin because her record is horrible and she has nothing to run on. She's a big do-nothing on top of it. So she is really accomplished very little for all her time in Congress and the Senate. So staying focused on her record and the issues that matter to the people of Wisconsin.
That's how Eric Hovde's going to appeal to female voters in the state of Wisconsin.
What Thumper's mom had in mind. You know what I mean?
I mean, so but the guy couldn't finish the paragraph. I'm not going to do any name calling. ... She's a big do nothing. Now I don't know about you, but that sounds like name calling to me. What she said, he wasn't going
to
do.
No, what Jay Weber did to Tim Walz's kid, that's name calling. Saying someone's a big do-nothing.
That is literally a name call.
Well, that's
of course, it's all descriptors. A blubbering baby bitch boy is a descriptor. It's name calling, man. He said he's not going to call names.
One's harsher than the other.
Sure, certainly, but still name calling, dude. And he's certainly being critical about it. He meant the name calling to be a negative. He wasn't complimenting her. He just said he wasn't going to do any name calling, but she's a big do-nothing. Come on, man. But well, anyway, that's beside the point.
There's Eric Hovde is a nepotism hire at his dad's company who effectively is what? Failed forward.
And the affirmative action of generational wealth?
Yeah, he might be one of the, the most influential people in Laguna Beach in Orange County, California?
Well, if he gets in the Senate, he'll be one of the richest dudes in the Senate. So let's make sure he does not do that. Is Tammy Baldwin, Senator from Wisconsin, speaking today?
I'm not clear.
Yes, she is. Excellent.
I thought she was speaking earlier in the week, but I have not yet seen her speak from the stage, and it looks like the gavelin has begun. They are starting to come to the stage right here at the DNC in Chicago. Pretty sure we're in Chicago still. And we're going to keep doing this all night long, Dom, because tonight is the glorious final night of the DNC. This is the crescendo. This is the climax. And a very special guest promise, bigger than Oprah. Who could it possibly be, Dom?
I can't wait to see.
Scott Ross and Melania Trump way back in the 4 o'clock hour. I think that was a interesting dig, but I doubt it.
I still think it's going to be the late, great Dr. Hannibal Lecter.
I'm thinking Beyonce. Queen Bee. I mean, she's using the soundtrack. If Beyonce did Freedom to introduce Kamala to the stage tonight, dude, this place, the roof's coming off. So that's what I'm predicting and hoping for. Another great night of broadcast. Thank you for the buying team here at Civic Media. Corey Hartman, Chris Casper, Max has been helping. I've seen all kinds of guys helping out. Fancy Brian Kelly, he's been a big help. Maggie Dawn's going to help us on the radio just a little bit later. 7 o'clock tonight. Don't forget, check your local station listings. That means we're going to be on, unless the Brewers are. No, they already played today, so we're on. And you can hear us starting at 7 o'clock with the incomparable Maggie Dawn. Dom's been a fun week. Not quite done yet. Not done until bar time tonight.
We'll sleep when we're dead, Crudy.
Hopefully Kamala will be done speaking before that time frame. Thank you all for listening. We are the Devil's Advocates. A special recap show tomorrow with all of the best interviews from the week. Please tune in on Friday. And stick around. More recap from the DNC in Chicago.